Good morning. I love these technical difficulties. That was created by user error. There's just certain buttons on these things you don't push, or you get things like that. Eddie, great job leading singing. Appreciate those selections. Those were great, great songs. And appreciate the opportunity to be together as God's people. And what a wonderful place to come together out of the rain, right? Nobody's building a boat yet, but it sure is good to have the rain. And we're thankful that God has blessed us so much in providing that. And I know the cows are pretty happy about having the grass to eat. And those of you that are raising cattle, you understand that, of course, better than most of us. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. We're going to be looking at one of my favorite passages of Scripture. In fact, if I were able to get into a time machine and push the buttons, this would be one of the days that I would pick to go back to in the first century. What a day to be together with those that were gathered together on Pentecost. The apostles have been endued from power on high, as Jesus promised, and Peter, along with the 11, stand up and preach Jesus. And they point out to these people that the Jesus that they crucified is the Christ, the Son of God. And as the preaching is presented to the people, we read that they responded. In fact, in verse 36, if we pick up there in reading together, you will see that Peter is telling them clearly when he says, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ." And he says, "Whom you crucified." That is particularly of great significance because this is the Jesus that went to the cross. This was the Jesus that they saw as the criminal, but this Jesus has now been declared to be the Son of God. Verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" There's the question. And they responded. Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins." Thursday night, we had a couple that made the decision to put the Lord on in baptism. And they did so with the assurance of what Peter preached in the first century, that there is in Christ remission of sins. And the promise, "You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you, to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And then we begin reading in verse 40, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" And then we read some beautiful words. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized." And note here clearly, "And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them." Now, as you notice the slide, you'll see that there is a title for this lesson this morning, "Assembly Required." How many of you have one of these in your backyard? When my girls were little, they had to have one of these so that we could have one in our backyard, just like all the other kids in town had in their backyards. And they were excited about having this device in our backyard rather than having to go to somebody else's backyard or down to the park. Well, I wasn't so excited. And I'll tell you why here in just a minute. Because when we went to Sears and bought this device, it required assembly. And of course, you can see this box came from China, and they're just not quite clear on spelling English, are they? But clearly, assembly is required, and it requires an adult because the kids aren't going to do it. In fact, I really did not want them to help me at all put this device called a swing set together. But I want you to know, I kind of look just exactly like this, especially when I picked up the instruction set. Those instructions were spelled out and printed just about like the box was. And so I had to start figuring out how to put this thing together, how to assemble this swing set. And there was no option. Here it is laying in the backyard. I have no choice. It's got to go together. And so it's up to me to make it happen because the assembly was required and there was no other option. So I went to work and started to put the swing set together. Now, don't believe them when they say this can be done in 30 minutes. 3 days later, I'm still trying to figure out all the pieces to put it together. And I wondered why I had pieces left over, Brother Eddie. Couldn't figure it out. More pieces than I needed, as it turned out. But it required assembly. But the end result was pretty good. Because neighbor kids could come along and they could play with our daughters and our kids were excited and they had a blast until they fell out of the swing set like most of them do, or fell out of the swings. And then they came in the house, all bruised up, bleeding from here and there, and headaches from where they fell on the ground. But yet they were having fun, they were excited, they enjoyed the end result. Well, when we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the end result of Peter's preaching is phenomenal. About 3,000 souls were added to them. Why? Because they gladly received the word. They listened to the preaching. They responded to the preaching. They were baptized into Christ. And they were among a group of people now known as the church. And the Lord added to the church, verse 47 tells us, if you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So those who were baptized into Christ now are added to a body of Christ, the church of our Lord. And here is something I want to share with you this morning. And if you walk away with nothing else but this from this lesson, the New Testament word church requires assembly by definition. Now, a lot of folks in our world do not know that. They think of a church as a building. And of course, they realize folks go into that building, but they don't often think about the fact that the church is more than just a building, that it is the spiritual body of Christ. And because it is a spiritual body of Christ, it requires assembly together as a body by the very nature and the definition of the word. What you're seeing here on the slide is a picture of a family gathering. And you'll notice they are exactly that. They are gathered together. When you look at that New Testament word that's translated church, it is a word which means assembly, congregation. People called out from the world to the assembly that belongs to the Almighty God. And as you look at the very nature of the word itself and its construction, it means to be called out from. Here you have people in Acts chapter 2 that were still a part of the Jewish world, but they're called out of that world. And by accepting the preaching of Peter, they are added to the church, the called out assembly. You see that in action in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And it came to pass that even for a whole year they were gathered together. The King James says assembled together. There's the word. With the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Notice that what you have described in Acts 11, verse 26, is a gathered-together assembly. The church, the body of Christ, those called out of the world, and they're first called Christians in Antioch. Why? Because it has been determined that these people are those following Christ. And who makes up the church? Those who have decided to follow Christ. It's even interesting as you look at the secular meaning of the word that's translated church in reference to the called out, that is in use in Acts 19. If you want to turn over there quickly or just look at the slide, I'll try to blow it up here a little bit because I want you to see this. Verse 39, Acts 19, "But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined," notice this, "in the lawful assembly." That is a gathering. Well, what are we talking about? Well, the word was used in a secular sense in reference to an assembly that gathers together, in this case, convened at a public place for the purpose of deliberating. And that happened. People gathered publicly. That word is in use in Acts 19. If you look at verse 40, "For we are in danger of being called into question day for today's uproar, that there being no reason which we have or we may give to account for this disorderly gathering." Notice what you have here. You have assembly, you have a gathering. Verse 41, "And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly," the gathering together. Assembly is required for God's people. When a person obeys the gospel, he becomes a part of the body of Christ. What's its purpose? To be together. And that's significant because God wants us together. Verse 44, "All who believe were together." How wonderful to think about when we become a Christian, we become a part of a body. What is this body doing in Acts chapter 2? They're continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and then fellowship. That word fellowship is a significant word also because it means to be meshed together, somewhat like gears coming together. And note also that they're involved in the breaking bread and in prayers. And so what we have here is activity of those who are called out of the world and are together in the assembly. Verse 46, "So continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house." What happens to these people? They together function. We also see an example of this in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, if you want to turn over there. "On the first day of the week," Scripture says, "the disciples came together for the purpose of breaking bread. And Paul, ready to depart for the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." So again, here's the church together. What's happening? They're breaking bread, but they're also listening to the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And they spent some time doing that, obviously. And that is significant because it is important that those who are in the body of Christ get together to, of course, break bread, as we have this morning in the sense of partaking the Lord's Supper. It's important that God's people continue in prayer. It's important that God's people study. And so what is Paul doing? He's speaking to them and continuing his message because it's important for us, as we know, to learn. Now, notice here in Acts 20 and verse 7 that there is a word missing that sometimes folks concludes there. You'll notice that he says in verse 7, "Now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread," that word "only" is not in your textbook, is it? It's not in your scriptures. They didn't come together only to break bread. What else took place there? Well, Paul is teaching them. You see, that word "only" is not in the Scripture. Sometimes people get in their mind, they only need to come together so they can partake of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is extremely important. It's vital to spiritual survival. But there is also other reasons that the church is together. Of course, fellowship is one. But even as important is prayer together, study together, learning together, singing together, worshiping the Lord, the Almighty God. But also in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, as they are gathered together, we learn later that the church became involved in what we did this morning. He says now concerning, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, concerning the collection for the saints. "So I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also." What are they doing? They're giving. "On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." And so here we have clearly defined an activity the church is involved in together as they are together in assembly. Now, I want to ask you this question. Why are you here? Well, it's, of course, to do these things that we've been talking about. We come together to sing. We come together to pray together. We come together to fellowship together. We come together to take the Lord's Supper and to learn from God's Word. That's true. But what motivates you to be here? Well, I know I need to do this. Well, that's true. But what motivates you to be here? What motivated those that we read about in Acts chapter 2? Well, notice that the Scripture says they gladly received the Word. What's that adverb doing there when it says they gladly received the Word? It's talking about their heart, isn't it? Verse 44, all who believe were together. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness. And notice, and simplicity of heart. If someone is not assembling with the church as they know they should, what's the problem? Well, it's a heart problem, isn't it? Of course, we might look at it first from the fact that maybe they're missing some important knowledge. So we want to make sure they have the knowledge. But what motivates them to take the knowledge that they have and act upon it? It's the heart. And I like that in Acts chapter 2, we read these words like gladness and gladly receiving the Word, simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, Scripture says. Because heart is at the very center of what motivates people to do what they do. They have to want to do what God tells them to do. They have to want to benefit from what God has provided for His people. When I got that box to put together for my kids and build what is known as a swing set, at first I really wasn't as motivated as I should be. Fairly motivated when we got it. I was doing pretty good until I opened the box up and there's the instructions. And I saw all those little pieces. And I'm going, this is going to be tough. And my motivation was waning. My want to was disappearing. As I unpacked those little pieces and it said to make sure you have everything. And I'm going, it's going to take me a week to count just the parts. What happens then if I'm missing one? And so my motivation was waning. But then I'd look to my girls and I'd think, here's why I'm going to do it. I'm going to put this thing together because I loved my children. And I couldn't wait to see their joy. And they couldn't wait for me to experience their joy either because they were hovering over me. Saying, when's it going to be done, Dad? When's it going to be done? When's it going to be done? When's it going to be done? I'm going just as soon as it can be done. Give me a break. But they were looking forward to enjoying the fruit of my labor. And so, the assembly took place because of the expectation of the joy that I would see in their faces. Knowing that assembly was required and it was the only real option. No assembly required, not an option. And I did not see that on the box anywhere. It would take me putting that together. And that's exactly what we have with the body of Christ. You see, God didn't give us an option to say, well, I'm a member of the church now, but no assembly required. It's not an option. From Acts 2, throughout Scripture, we read about the church being together, assembling as the body of Christ. In fact, the writer of Hebrews points this out. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. There's a function of the body. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. And that's not a proper manner. It's not the acceptable manner. Why? Because we are to be together for a reason, for a common purpose of the experience together as God's people in the body. In fact, he says, but exhorting one another. God wants us together for each other, to consider one another, to stir one another up to love and to good works, to encourage one another. In fact, he goes on and points out how serious this is in Hebrews 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice of sins. I think God wants us seriously to understand how important it is that we have this assembly, that we gather as God's people. And when you think about it, they were together a lot in the first century, and here we're somewhat gathering only 3 hours a week. Not much time compared to all the time we have in a week, is it? And so that means that those 3 hours are extremely vital. Even our Bible classes are vital to our spiritual survival. God wants us together. He wants His children to be together in order to encourage one another. Why? Verse 36 of Hebrews chapter 10. For you have need. We need to assemble because we have needs. And what is our need? For you have need of endurance. If we will just go out there and live in the world by our lonesome selves, what's our chances of survival spiritually? Some of you are going like this. It's not good, is it? We need each other. We need what we can get from God's Word and from each other and from our service to God. You have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We must never lose sight of the very concept that there is a promise to us, that if we be faithful unto death, we will have the victor's crown. And so in the assembly, when we assemble together, we gather to encourage one another, to stir one another up and to love and to good works and to be encouragement so that we all can receive that promise. Some of our young people know exactly what this picture is. It's a T-Rex skeleton. Kids can recognize those T-Rex skeletons. I've had a chance to see one of these in a museum. And one of the things that I noticed about these T-Rexes is that they have a lot of bones. It's quite a structure, and it's pretty good size. And it's pretty amazing when you look at this creation of the Almighty God. And to think about the intricacy of the skeletal structure of this creature. Now, imagine you get a box with a T-Rex skeleton. Now, if you think a swing set would be complicated, just imagine what this would be like. But you're encouraged by the box because the box simply says some assembly required. Now, what's going to be your first thought? Shall I blow it up here? Really? Some assembly required? Really? It'll look like this again. Really? Just some assembly required? Well, some assembly, when it comes to a swing set, is not an option. In fact, that produces a very dangerous situation. And that's what concerned me when I put this swing set together. I had leftover parts, and I'm wondering, why do I have these leftover parts? Because they ought to be in the swing set. Is this going to be safe for the kids? And of course, me being the cautious father, I said, Kathy, you take the first swing. Because I'm concerned there's leftover parts. A swing set half put together is a dangerous situation. Think about our lives spiritually. God designed us to serve Him together. As you look at Acts chapter 2, what do you read from verse 40 on? The church together. God's people gathered together to help one another, to encourage one another, to enjoy one another. The gladness that they had is very, very clear as they're together. Continuing daily, verse 46 in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. I just want to believe that I could have seen their joy on their face because they were together. And isn't it wonderful in verse 47, and the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. That meant a lot for those who surrendered and became obedient to the gospel, because they became a part of something that was going to mean a lot to them, because you see, they were coming together as a family. I want you to moment as we end this lesson this morning, think about what it would be like to get off an airplane in New York City. All you have in your hand is an address of some people who are willing to take you in and give you a home. Can you imagine standing in the middle of the street in New York City saying, "Where is my home?" What a haunting, lonely feeling. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Why is assembly required? Many reasons. But one I want to leave with you is this. It's a family. It's going home. Ultimately looking forward to an eternal home where we'll all be together for eternity. But the home is here. It's a place where the family gathers. When we assemble, it's where we're at together as the family of God. But here's the question. Are you a member of that family? Have you been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins that we read about in Acts 2, verse 38? Have you been added to the church, the family of God? If not, this morning we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation song. If you want to make your way down to the front, we will assist you in what is necessary for you to be a member of the church, the family of God. And Christians, if you've walked away from the assembly thinking you can make it on your own out there in the world and abandon your spirituality, then why not think about coming home? The Lord's waiting. Why not make the right decision? As we stand and sing, would you come this morning?